We have our financial statements for last month here on the communion table, so if you'd like to get one of those, you can pick it up before you leave. 1 Kings chapter 13, something I needed to mention. My wife asked me to mention that trying to take up some gifts for Kaylee and Nick Cooper. They are expecting their third baby unexpectedly, if you know what I mean, one of them kind of situations. But anyway, just different gifts, like baby gifts, things like that. I think the way I understand, they had pretty well got rid of most all their baby stuff and thought all that was in the past, and it slipped up on them. So anyhow, some of the people in the church wanted to try to help them out a little bit. So put it in the fellowship hall, is that what you say? If you want to bring any baby gifts. So. Yes, ma'am. Is that right? Mm-hmm. All right. How about that? Well, that's good. Congratulations. 1 Kings chapter 13, and we left off Sunday morning in Sunday school at verse number 11. If you were here Sunday, you know that I taught Sunday school and preached from this passage here. Hopefully you remember what we studied in the first 10 verses of this chapter. We studied about this man of God that the Lord sent to Bethel to confront Jeroboam and the people about their idolatry. And he comes and prophesies. The prophecy you see is in verse number 3. He says that, verse number 2 says, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee, that would be upon the altar, shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. We talked about how that actually came to pass. It was about 300 years later, but it did come to pass. And then he gave a sign to verify that what he had prophesied would happen. And you see the sign, he tells about it in verse 3, and then verse 4, Jeroboam, he gets mad and wants to lay hold on the prophet, and the Lord smites his hand so that it dries up. And then he asks for prayer in verse 6, that he could have his hand back. Man of God prays for him. His hand is restored. And then the king invites the man of God to come home with him and refresh himself. And he offers him a reward. But the man of God turns it down because he says, the Lord told me not to eat bread, drink water in this place, and told me that when I leave to not even go back the same way I came. So he refuses what Jeroboam offers. Verse 10, he heads out another way, and he's leaving, going from Bethel back home. And that's where we pick up in verse number 11, where it says, there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel. And I read that verse in the message that I preached and talked about how in this chapter you got the two prophets. You got a younger prophet, then you have what is called an old prophet. Now, we're not told his age, so I'm not sure exactly how old he was. I know from other passages that we've studied in the past, if y'all will remember, we studied one passage where a man was 80. Y'all remember that? He was 80 years old, and the Bible says he was an old man. So, you know, if you just go by that, then you would assume that this fella's probably 70, 80 plus years old. But the Bible says he was an old prophet and that he dwelt in Bethel. And I talked about that in the message. Bethel is where all of this idolatry and this wickedness is going on. But this old prophet is not saying anything. He's not out preaching. He's not out standing against Jeroboam and what's going on here. Looks like he's just sitting idly by, letting it all go on. And that, as I mentioned, Sunday is probably one reason or part of the reason why in this chapter he's never called a man of God. The younger one he is 15 times, but that fella's never called a man of God. It looks to me like in his old age he's compromised and he's just decided that he's going to just kick back and keep his mouth shut, not really take a stand anymore. And I got to thinking about that more. There's other instances in the Bible, several instances, in fact, in the Bible where it talks about somebody being old and how in their old age they either turn their back on the Lord altogether or they really went downhill spiritually. And you see that oftentimes in life, and that's a sad thing, but you see it in the Bible, you see it in life. A couple of people I thought about, one we should be familiar with. Y'all think of one, we studied about him it's been a while back, but we studied about this one guy that when he was old, his heart was turned away from the Lord. Y'all remember that? That was Solomon. Y'all remember that? That's what the Bible says about him. It doesn't say when he was young that his wives turned his heart away. It says when he was old that his wives turned his heart away from the Lord. So it looks like, you know, for a big chunk of his life, he does okay. And then when he becomes an old man, he lets his wives turn his heart away from God. I think about another fellow in the Bible that is said to be old, who really went downhill spiritually in his old age. And that's a fellow you study about back in the book of Samuel, a fellow by the name of Eli. Y'all remember Eli? He had two boys, Hophni and Phinehas, and both of those boys were just wicked boys. Winds up, the Lord killed both of them. That's what the Bible says. He slew both of them because they were wicked and ungodly. But a lot of the reason why they were so messed up is because of their daddy. If you go back and read what it says about Eli, you find that Eli, at least as an old man anyway, because that's really where his story picks up in the Bible. You don't really get any information about Eli in his younger years. His story picks up as an old person, as an old man. That's what he's called, aged man, very aged, very old. And he's gained a lot of weight. The Bible says he's a big, heavy man. He's old, his eyes are going, he's dim, can't see real good anymore. And he's just letting a whole lot of stuff go with his sons. And evidently, even things in his own life, but especially with his sons. He sees what his sons are doing, understands, but the Bible says that he didn't restrain his sons. He just let it go. And just reading what the scripture says, you can tell that as an old man, he's really dropped the ball spiritually. So you got Solomon, you got Eli, you got this old prophet here who evidently is just, you know, as an old man, he's just not really doing anything for God. But now at the same time, and I went back through some of this today when I was thinking about it, there are other instances in the Bible where you have somebody that is old and they are very faithful to the Lord. They start out young, and as they get older, they don't go downhill spiritually, and they continue to be faithful to the Lord. There's a lot of situations like that in the Bible where somebody, when they go out, when they die, the Bible talks about how they're still right with the Lord, still in fellowship with God. And that's what we should want, right? Amen. We should want to, the greatest thing, if you could just have it, the ideal situation would be for somebody to get saved when they're really, really young. I mean, just as soon as they have enough about them to comprehend the gospel and understand they're a sinner and that Jesus Christ died for them and trust him. And, you know, people get saved at different ages. You know, I think that's different for different people. But the ideal situation for somebody to get saved as a little child and then just grow up living for God and never go out in the world and just give their flesh to the world and the devil and just live for the Lord and be faithful and grow old being faithful. I'm not talking about being perfect, because nobody's perfect, right? But I mean just the overall picture of their life and testimony of their life as they get saved young and they grow up living for God and they live their teenage years and their middle age years and then just get old and gray-headed, get that hoary head like the Bible says, and they're still serving God and still being faithful and die loving Jesus Christ more than anybody else in the world. Wouldn't that be the ideal thing? Doesn't always happen that way, though, does it? But that'd be the ideal scenario. But many times it doesn't happen that way. I heard it said, and I'm sure y'all have as well, that it's not how you start, but how you finish that matters the most. And if you're not going to have that ideal situation where you get saved young and live for God your whole life, the next best thing is whenever you do get saved, from then on, be faithful to the Lord and serve Him with all your heart. People get saved at different ages. I've led people to the Lord that were well up in years, which is one of the more unusual things for somebody that's an old person to get saved, but it does happen. I've led people to the Lord that were little kids. I've led people to the Lord that were middle-aged, teenagers, young adults, all these different ages. But the thing is, whatever age you get saved, from then on, just be faithful and stay with the Lord so that when you become an old person, I know that doesn't describe anybody here tonight. We got all young folk in the building tonight. But whenever you do get to that age that you're old, like Brother Gene up here, I guess he would be because you 80. Anybody else 80 in the building? Nobody else. He's 82, so he's definitely a very old man. Biblically speaking, you're an old man, So
I'm so proud.
It's a blessing to be your age and be in the health that you have, for sure. But the goal is to just be faithful. When I read about this old prophet and I read about Solomon, I read about Eli, stuff like that scares me. I'm not young anymore by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm still relatively young, I guess you'd say. I don't want to drop the ball, man. If God sees fit for me to live out a long life on earth and I live to be 70, 80 years old, I want to be faithful to the Lord. Whatever age I live to. I don't want to, as I get older and begin to go down physically, also begin to go down spiritually and drop the ball on the Lord and become a compromiser and a liberal and somebody that's not faithful to God. I don't want to do that. I want to be... Matter of fact, what I would really like is to just get more and more faithful and closer to the Lord so that when I go out, I'm in the very best spiritual shape I've ever been in my whole life. Now, wouldn't that be great? To just, as you get older in age, just get closer to Jesus Christ so that whenever you leave this world, whatever that at that age is, you're as close to Him right then or closer to Him right then than you've ever been your whole life. That would be the thing, the goal to try to shoot for in your life. And I heard a really good illustration about that one time, an illustration in nature. And if you get to thinking about it, every year, we don't get to see it a whole lot in this part of the country most of the time, but there are certain parts of the country where you really get to see the changing of the seasons. You know what I'm talking about? Like you go up in Tennessee in the mountains and areas like that, man, when it starts changing. Pennsylvania is a beautiful place in the fall of the year. But you really get to see the changing of those leaves. And isn't that beautiful? Do you know that really and truly, as far as the color and all, a tree is the most beautiful when? In the fall, but... What's going on with that? What's going on when those leaves are turning that color? They're dying. It's in the spring of the year, they start budding back out and they just kind of that old boring green color, I'm for real. During the fall when the leaves are dying is when they are the most beautiful. Not when they're first coming on, but when they're dying. And to me, that's a beautiful picture of how it ought to be in our lives spiritually. The older we get physically, the more beautiful we should become spiritually. So that when our life is said and done here on earth, we are closer to Jesus Christ right then than we've ever been. Have the best relationship with Him that we've ever had. And it can be that way. We don't have to be like this old prophet. We don't have to be like Eli. We don't have to be like Solomon. We don't have to go out in a spiritual mess. We don't have to drop the ball spiritually and just blow it as an old person. I don't want to do that. Hopefully you don't. Hopefully, but here's the thing about that. A lot of how you turn out as an old person will be determined by choices and decisions you make in your life as a younger person. You think about Solomon, for example. He's an old man when his heart gets turned away. But you know what brought that on as an old man? All those bad choices he made as a young man. See, you kind of got to make some preparation. If you want yourself to be in the best shape you've ever been spiritually when you get old, you gotta kind of build up to that. You got to make right choices and decisions about your spiritual life as you're growing older. If you don't, then it's highly unlikely that you're going to go out in a good relationship with the Lord. You can't just wait till then and decide all of a sudden. It's stuff you got to practice as you're growing older that will determine the condition you're in when you get old. And here's something else I saw in this verse today. Look at verse 11 again. It says, "Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, that's his sons, told also to their father." The thing that stood out to me today when I was going back over this is that this old prophet had some sons. I don't know how many he had. May have had two. We know he had more than one because it says sons. All right? They come and they have to tell their father what went on. Their father ought to have been out there. Their father ought to have been out there taking a stand against Jeroboam and preaching against that mess that's going on. Those boys ought to have been able to see their daddy standing for God. But instead, they have to come to wherever he's at and tell him what happened that day. I just think that's a sad thing. I hope and pray that if I live to be an old man and my son is still living, whatever he does with his life, that'll be between him and God. But I hope and pray that when he sees me as an old man, he sees somebody that is still being faithful to the Lord. That's what I want. And if you have children, you should want that. If you have grandchildren, you should want that. You should want to have a good testimony and them see your faithfulness all through the years. And even when you get old and gray-headed and you don't have a lot of years left, your kids be able to look at you and say, "Hey, my daddy, my mama, my grandmother, my grandfather, my great-grandmother is being faithful to God." That's what we should want, just to be a good testimony to our children and grandchildren as we grow old. I don't want my son to see me some old washed-up preacher that's a compromiser and a liberal and doesn't preach anymore and doesn't stand for God anymore, just got old and dropped the ball and quit on God. I don't want him to see me like that. You don't want your kids to see you that way, do you? Need to think about these things as we get older. They come and they tell their daddy what happened and what was said. So verse 12, the Bible says, "And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah." So he wants to know what direction the fellow went when he left. "And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass." Notice the ass. So evidently it was the only one they had, or it was just one particular one they used when they needed to go somewhere. saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon. And that shows you, you know, you wonder, if you stop there at verse 11, you might could try to justify the old man and say, well, he's just an old decrepit fella, and he couldn't get out and go, and that's why he wasn't out there standing up against Jeroboam. Well, what you just read kind of blows that out of the water. He's in good enough health that he can get up on an ass and ride it. You know what I mean? So he's old, but he ain't so old and feeble that he's bedridden and can't do anything. He can still get out and go. So his problem wasn't that he didn't have the physical wherewithal to do it. He just wasn't doing it. But he goes out to find this man of God. Verse 14, it says, and went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. So he finds him. And it's interesting to me, and this passage of scripture here I don't know really the best way to describe it. It's just kind of unusual what happens here. This young prophet here he's gonna make a mistake here. He's gonna mess up. And you're not really given a whole lot of detail in the passage as to what was going on in his heart. You just kind of left to wonder, but it's interesting to me, he goes out to find him and he's sitting there under an oak tree. You know, in my mind, and I have no way to prove this whatsoever, so I'm just speculating here. Is he just taking a break? Is that what's going on? Is he just tired and just taking a break? Or is something else going on in his mind and heart? Because remember now, he goes there and prophesies, performs a sign, and Jeroboam says, hey, if you'll come back with me, I'll give you half of my house. Half of everything I got in my house, I'll give that to you. And on top of that, I'll give you a reward. Reckon maybe he turns all that down now. He turns that down, says, I don't want that. God told me not to stay here, not to eat, drink, take anything, so I'm going back. But he's sitting here under this oak. It could just simply be that the fellow's tired and he's taking a break. But we're in 1 Kings 13 is where we are. It could be he's just tired and taking a break. Or it could be that he started back. Sounds like they're having fun in the back, doesn't it? Could be that he started back and he's got to mulling over in his mind and his heart what he's turned down, and he's kind of thinking about it a little bit. And I don't know that, but I'll tell you why I wonder that as we get on in the story. But verse 15, then he said unto him, this is the old prophet talking to the young prophet, come home with me and eat bread. Now you could say, well, the old prophet, you know, he's got pure motives. He's just trying to help the guy here, just, you know. But you got to bear in mind that old prophet knows that God has told that young prophet not to stay there. And how did the old prophet know that? How did the old prophet know that the young prophet wasn't supposed to go back? Remember what it says in verse number 11? Look at it again. It says, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. And notice this, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. So they heard when he turned Jeroboam down and said, hey, God told me I can't eat, I can't drink here, I got to go back a different way, I can't stay. The sons heard that. And they go tell their daddy, the old prophet, everything that the young man said to Jeroboam. So that old prophet, when he goes to find that young prophet, goes out there knowing that God has told that young man not to stay in that place, right? He knows that. And what is the first thing he does? Instead of showing up and saying, look, young man, I just wanted to find you and tell you how thankful I am for what you did. You took a stand for God. I appreciate what you did. Praise the Lord. You're doing the right thing. You're obeying God. I want to encourage you. Just keep on going. Keep on going. Instead of doing that, what does that old man do to him? He says, won't you come on home with me? Let me feed you something. Knowing that God told that young man not to stay there. So what's this old prophet doing? What's he doing? It's like he's trying to tempt the young man, right? Like he's trying to test him or something, because he knows he's not supposed to go back. And that's the first thing he says. He says, come home with me and eat bread. I mean, he's specific. And that's what one of the things the young man said is, God told me not to eat any bread here. And he heard that and he says, come home with me and eat bread. It's like he's testing the guy. Here's a old prophet that's not serving God like he needs to. And instead of being an encouragement to a young prophet that is serving God, he's serving as a stumbling block for that young man. And that's another thing you got to watch out for. As people get older, the ones that, like we talked about before, who get older and they compromise and they drop the ball and they're not living for God anymore, you have to watch out for those people as a younger person. As you're trying to grow and be faithful to God, you got to watch out for those older saints and older preachers and people like that that are not being faithful anymore, because some of them will try to hinder you from serving God and being faithful. And some of that, I think, is just, hey, misery likes company, you know. They know they're not being faithful to God. They know they're not doing right. And instead of getting their heart right, and what this old prophet, I mean, let's be real about it. What this old prophet should have done here is looked at that young prophet and said, hey, that ought to be me right there. I, myself, should have been out there preaching and prophesying, and he should have repented and got right with the Lord. But instead of doing that, he comes out and tries to cause this young man to stumble. And sometimes you have people, they're not living for God, and instead of looking at other people who are and making the decision to repent and get right, they just try to bring other people down to where they are. You have to watch out for that kind of stuff. Your faithfulness, if you're being faithful, you know what that's going to do? Just automatically. You're not going to try to do this. I'm just telling you, if you live for God and you're being faithful, your faithfulness and dedication to the Lord without you trying is going to expose people that are not being faithful to God. It's like shining a light on something, you know? When you got darkness and a light comes on, it exposes the darkness. You come into a room that's pitch black, there can be all kind of stuff in there, you not know what's in there, but as soon as you turn the light on, you can see it, right? You have somebody that's not being faithful, not doing right. When somebody walks up that is living for God and being faithful, it just shines light and exposes the unfaithfulness. And a lot of people, they don't want to get right. They want to stay where they are. And instead of getting straight, they want to try to bring you to where they are. Try to pour water on your fire. I've seen that a lot of times. Watch out. I'm serious. I hope this doesn't ever go on around here, but watch out for anybody in this church, outside of this church, where you work, anybody that tries to discourage you in any way from being faithful to God. Somebody tries to get you to lay out of church, or somebody tries to get you to not take as strong of a stand about something, just watch out for people like that. Just know that the Lord, know this, the Lord is never going to discourage you from being faithful to Him. So if that's happening, it's not God doing it, friend. It's not the Lord. That's another entity that's trying to do that to you, but it's not the Lord. So watch out for that kind of stuff. This old man comes out here and he says, come home, eat with me, knowing the guy wasn't supposed to. Verse 16, and he said, really he just repeats what he had already said to Jeroboam. He says, I may not return with thee nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place, for it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. See, just repeats the same things already said to Jeroboam. Now watch this, verse 18. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. How about this? But he lied unto him. He's a liar. He's an old, compromising liar is what he is. He says, hey, an angel, which by the way, if y'all are familiar in any way with some of these other religions and stuff, y'all know one of the biggest religions in the world, a cult really in the world, got started by a fellow who said an angel talked to him. Y'all know who that is? That's Joseph Smith, the fellow over the Mormons, main dude over the Mormons. That's how he suckered everybody in, telling them that an angel was communicating with him and telling him all these things. So you need to watch out for that too. Word of caution, be careful about anybody who walks up to you and says, God told me to tell you, kind of thing. Okay, just be careful about that. Especially if what they say God told them to tell you goes contrary to what you know God has said in his word. That, I mean, red flag right there. Somebody walks up and says, God told me to tell you, and they tell you something, and immediately in your mind you say, well, now that ain't in line with the Bible. That ain't what God says. You need to write that person off right away, or at least write off what they've said to you. Whatever they've told you to do or asked you to do or said God wanted you to do, if it violates the Bible, don't listen to that. God is not going to tell you to do anything that violates his word, ever. I mean, there's not even a scenario where that plays out, where God comes to somebody and tells them to violate his word. You know what that would be? That'd be God telling you to sin. The Lord's not going to do that. So be very, very careful about that. But it's interesting what he says to him. He says, and an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee. He doesn't say, God spoke to me. He says, an angel said this to me. But the Bible says he lied unto him. So what in the world is this old codger doing here? Y'all know what an old codger is, don't you? What's that old joker doing? He's just a messed up fella. He really is. But God's allowing this old prophet to do all this. He could have stopped it, but he's allowing it. He's allowing it to happen. And that ought to show you, too, that sometimes a preacher will lie to you. I mean, this is a prophet. He really is a prophet. He's got that call on his life. He's just a compromising liberal prophet, a guy that has just gone downhill spiritually, but he's a prophet nonetheless. On down in this passage, the Lord actually is going to speak to that old man and speak through that old man to the young man. He is a prophet, but he lied to him. And he's out there trying to get him to do something that he knew God didn't want him to do. It's just an illustration of the Bible that, you know, I marvel at how gullible I really do. And I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you, I marvel nowadays at how gullible God's people are sometimes. It's just amazing to me. Somebody shows up and says they're from God or preaches a sermon and acts like they're from God, and they just hook, line, and sinker. And it never enters their mind that fella could be lying to them. And it happens all the time. Happens all the time.
Did you know a young man has a tendency? I'm talking about Christian. A young man has a tendency to listen to an old man.
Yes.
He's been taught to respect
his elders. Yes, it is. The way that you are able to pick up on that as far as not letting somebody older. And it's not always easy, don't get me wrong, but I think one reason why we're so gullible sometimes is because we don't know enough of the Bible to be able to pick up on when somebody is lying to us. If you'll stay in the Bible and study the Word of God and learn it as much as you possibly can, and when somebody comes along and tells you something that is wrong, you'll pick up on that. More often than not, you'll pick up on that kind of stuff. But what Brother Gene, you know, it should be that as a man gets older, he, like we said earlier, he's just getting closer to God, more faithful, and he should be somebody you could look up to and get advice from. That's the way it ought to be. But that ain't how it is sometimes. It's not how it is a lot of the time. You have to make the Bible your authority and pay attention to what the Bible says, because anybody can be misled. Anybody can mislead you. Anybody can lie to you. But look at what happens in verse 19. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. He did just exactly what God told him not to do. And he did it because that old man said, hey, God spoke to me. You know, angel told me to tell you and that kind of thing. But that there is why I wondered earlier. And again, I don't have any way to prove it. But the fella, the old prophet, finds the young prophet sitting there under the oak tree, right? And I said, I just wondered if maybe there was a little something going on in his mind and heart already thinking about what Jeroboam had offered him and kind of second-guessing himself about not taking him up on that offer. Because this old prophet just shows up, and all he's got to do is say, hey, an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, said it's all right. He had heard nothing himself from God. You understand that? I'm talking about the young prophet. He had got no other orders from the Lord whatsoever. Before he left Judah, God said, this is what you do. The Lord had not given him any other orders. He had not changed anything. And then all of a sudden, this old guy shows up and says, hey, an angel said for me to tell you this. And just like that, he goes back with him. Just seems to me like he was a little too eager to go back. You know what I mean? That he jumped on that a little too quickly. But again, I may be wrong. He may have just been totally buying into the old man and accepting that. But he goes back with him. And verse 20 says, and it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back to the old prophet. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. Basically what he's saying is you're going to die and you're not even going to get buried back with your family. That's what he's telling him. So the Lord was, he was rough with this young man. And the young man, well, just look at it. Verse 23, and it came to pass after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. The old prophet gets the ass saddled up for the young prophet. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. And his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. So what happens to him? He dies. A lion gets him. I find that interesting, what kind of animal it was that got him. It was a lion that got him. Can you think of any character in the Bible that is likened to a lion that'll get you? The devil. The Bible says that the devil is as a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may, what? Devour. See? And that's what kind of animal gets this young man. A lion. It's just a practical picture of how when you choose to disobey God in your life, you're opening up yourself to be devoured by the devil. Anytime that you choose to go against the word of God, you are opening yourself up to to the devil. You're just giving him an inroad into your life, and he's not going to do anything good for you. I can promise you that. I think about that thing on 65. I know y'all have all seen that probably 100 times. I forget now exactly where it is, but when you're going north, you know that big gigantic sign out there on the right-hand side that says, go to church or the devil will get you? Y'all have seen that? You know? And a lot of people make light of that and say that's a little extreme, that's going too far. There's a lot more truth to that than people realize. And really what the guy's trying to say, I think, and I don't know who the guy is that put it out there, I think he's just trying to get the message out that you need to be careful about how you live your life, because when you don't do the things that God wants you to do, the devil will get you. I believe that's really the main thing he's trying to get across. And there is a lot of truth in that. When you choose to go against the Word of God, you are making yourself vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. And he'll come against you. All he's waiting for a lot of times is just you to give him an opportunity. That's all he's doing. And as soon as he sees that opening, that opportunity is going to pounce. It's like we've talked before about, you know, you watch those nature programs and stuff where you got those animals out there and this lion crouching down in the grass. You know what that lion's doing when he's crouching down over there? He's not just laying there to be laying there. He's just waiting for an opportunity. That's all he's doing. Just picking his moment, waiting to where that animal is the most vulnerable and he has the best chance, and then he pounces. And that's how it is with us in our life. He's always, he's never unfaithful. The devil never takes a day off. He's always faithful to his job, and he's just waiting for that time in your life where you'll give him that opportunity. And when you do, he's going to pounce. And when you violate the Word of God, when God is, and I want to be clear about this, you have things in the Bible where there's no gray area whatsoever. You know, God, it's a thus saith the Lord. You know, this is what God expects. And that's for all of us who are saved. When you and I violate those things, we're just opening ourselves up for the devil. But there's also this part of the Christian life where we each one have our own individual relationship with the Lord. And there's times where the Lord deals specifically with us about something, right? And he says, this is what I want you to do. And in a situation like that, what he's telling you to do, he may not be telling me to do. Because I'm not talking about one of those things where it's clearly laid out in the Bible. I'm talking about those personal issues where there's something that God wants you to do, a direction he wants your life to go in, something he intends for you to do. And what he has for you may be totally different from me or anybody else. But when you know it's a situation that God is dealing with you and speaking to you about something, a direction that he wants your life to go in, he gives you instruction about what to do, and you violate that, and you know. We're not talking about one of these things where it's, well, I think the Lord might want me to do it. No, I'm talking about crystal clear. God has dealt with you, and you know this is what God's telling you to do, and you choose to violate that. You're probably going to get in a lot of trouble, because that is exactly what happened with this young man. You understand, God had told him clearly, this is what I want you to do. You go up there, you preach, you give the sign, don't eat, don't drink, you leave. That's what God told him to do. And he violated that, and what happened to him? He got killed by a lion. Now that's tough. It's tough. But you just keep in mind, that's a beautiful picture practically of what the devil will do in your life if you choose to go against God. When you know, we're not talking about a sin of ignorance where you do something and you just do it ignorant. We're talking about sinning willfully after that you have come to the knowledge of the truth, as the Bible says, where you know God has told you, you don't do that, and you go and do it anyway, you're just opening yourself up to the devil, asking for a lot of trouble in your life. All right, we're going to stop here. Any questions about what we looked at tonight? Any questions?